was in Bullitt, Sherman's, so far of this year. And I'm hearing something very loud up here. Can you turn me down at this point? It's going to be squeaking before long. Can you hear it?
Well, make up your mind. Well, the guy wanted to turn, doesn't he?
Anybody work together?
Yeah. Yeah. Work together.
As long as I'm a working guy in the church, then the sound man. Woo! Hopefully he's sound. I got it now. Turn down some. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Barrett.
All right, thank you, man. You know, one day a man passed the farm. You know, we're going to talk about the sermon is going to be something special and very special, and very special to me. And it's very important to listen, because this sermon is still what we do in the mess, and I do it in the jail, and I do it in personal counseling. But this time it's going to be for us, right? So this is not for the weak-hearted. I promise it's not for the weak-hearted. And I promise you, when we get through, you're going to see life in a whole different way. I promise you that. Let me tell you a little story here. When that man passed by a farm and saw a beautiful horse, hoping to buy the animal, he said to the farmer, "I think your horse looks pretty good, so I'll give you $500 for it." Then he said, "He don't look good, and he's not for sale," said the farmer. The man says, "I think he looks good, and I'll up the price to $1,000. "It doesn't look so good," said the farmer, "but if you want him that much, he's yours." The next day, the man came back raging mad. He went to the farmer and screamed, "You sold me a blind horse! You cheated me!" The farmer calmly replied, "I told you he didn't look so good, didn't I?" Yeah, God's good. All the time. We're going to talk about today something very powerful. Maybe some more parts in this message later on. I'm not sure, because some of that flying by the seat of my pants is just that I really believe God showed me this last night, because I saw several people being attacked. Even last night, I saw people being attacked, and it really got to me. And when I saw the attacks coming from things that are long gone, way behind, God's already forgiven them for, and is done with, and still the enemy's just shooting into them as hard as they can shoot it to make them live in fear and regret and condemnation. And so it's very important. I want you to watch this. I want you to listen to every word. Hang on it. Because, like I said, this is going to be a different type of sermon. Yes, I've got a little part through the ants marching one by one. But I promise you, this is not a skills sermon. Okay. Get your Bibles and turn to Philippians 4:8, or you can just look up here. You can just watch it up here with me, either way. But God knows the power of our thoughts. And to change your thoughts, you change your world. Here's the scripture. I want us to read this together. This is the message version. It's just so clear. Will y'all stand up? Yeah, stand up. Yeah, we're proud to read it. Y'all stand up. Some of y'all, friends, I say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on true things. Noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me and what you have heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Philippians 4:8-9. Stretch your hands this way. Father, we love you, Lord, and praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well, that you are willing for them. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister, Father, in a way that only you can. I ask you, God, right now, Lord, to touch us, Lord, to minister to us and through us, Father, and to make everything, Lord, that is yours, Lord, make it nice and make it right. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, you got this, God. We trust you 100%. You got it. Well, let nothing be sent to strike for vain glory or said through fear or regret. Well, let everything be said with boldness and be said in a way that helps everybody in this room. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You be seated. God knows the power of our thinking. The Bible is full about how we think. The Bible is full about what we think on these things. Think on the good things. Think on things that are honorable and things that are noble and things that are most valued. There's so much stuff that God has called us and told us to focus on. But there's a problem. The problem is, this way of thinking is not normal. It's not natural. Honestly, we are all prone, all of us are prone to be negative. If you're positive all the time, it's because you're fighting off the negative. Because I promise you, the negative will attack. And I promise you that negative, remember, in your mind, you're negative-based 8 more times than a positive thought. A negative thought is so heavy and it's so powerful that one negative thought will take 7 or 8 positive thoughts just to overcome it in your brain. So think about that. So it proves to be negative. In this world, you watch the news, and there'll be a 30-minute news program with 15 minutes of its commercials. And in another 15 minutes, it's 14 minutes of bad things and 1 minute of positive. Right at the very end. Oh, by the way, today, and then just put a little warp in about a positive. So, because we're prone, if we're not careful, we're going to overcome with our negative thinking. And we'll get infested with ants. Some of y'all here have heard me tell you that multiple times. You need to get your rate out. You need to think of what you're thinking about, because it's not good. What you're thinking is not real. And what you're thinking is ants, they're attacking you. And then, of course, we're going to talk about the ants. This was in a sermon a few weeks ago at this point. So that's what I'll read it to you. What are ants? They're automatic negative thoughts syndrome. Automatic negative thoughts versus negative thoughts. But if you keep on doing it until it becomes part of you, then it becomes a syndrome. All right? Like this. He's always putting me down. I'm so stupid. I won't get this done on time. I just won't try. He never listened to me. Nobody could love me. I feel like staying in bed, but I should go to the gym. I'm a failure. No one understands me. I'm so annoying. Why try? I'm awful at this. I shouldn't get upset over this. You never listen to me. I shouldn't cry. She didn't think I love. She must hate me. That's just a few of the negative thoughts that goes on in our head. Nobody might ever even know that these are going on in our head. But it goes on daily. You can't stop the birds from landing on your head, but you can't stop it from building a nest. And so you got to watch it, you got to be careful, you got to pay close attention, and you got to pull back and understand when these ants are attacking. Because if you don't, you're going to go down. It's going to be hard. So again, when you feel, and I mean it's going to happen, whenever you feel the ants attack, you got to attack back. And this was how we ended that sermon that day right here. And that is the spiritual ray. Spiritual ray is, number one, resist those negative thoughts. Amen. Number two, A, adjust your thinking. Number I, inspect the truth. What does the Bible really say about what I'm going through? And then D, dwell on that truth. Once you find it, dwell on that truth instead of the negative lie that you are listening to and actually letting it consume your thinking, and cause you to have a very miserable day, a very miserable week, a very miserable month, a miserable marriage, a miserable life, because you keep dwelling, then the ants just destroy your mind. So, today, and again, like I said, I wasn't sure we're going to go with this, but I knew that it had to be, so here it is. Them kind of ants, there's all kinds of species of ants. I'm not putting them all up there, I'm just putting a few up there. See if you might have noticed one or two in your own life, especially when you're arguing with somebody, or when things aren't going right, or when the day's hard, you've got a lot of hours, and you've only been there for a few, knowing you got 10 more hours, or knowing that you're overworked and underpaid. Then these ants, and it's not a person in this room, not a person that doesn't have to fight these ants. First, there's always and never. Always and never. This is the thinking includes quotes like, you always get it wrong. You never get it right. In your head, you mess up and you go, I always get this wrong. I never can understand this. Or you look at your spouse and go, you always mess up. You never understand me. You start that, that's an ant. I'm going to tell you how to get away from them in a little while. That's an ant. Second, focusing on the negative. You only see the bad parts of the situation. There can be 15 good things, but because there's one bad thing, you get upset. You see, if you're hot, this is just kind of silly, but you're kind of hot, and you really want some good ice cream, and you want to have it with all the fixings, and you're trying to make a banana split, and you get all the stuff, all the 25 things you want to put in it, because the bowl isn't blue, you get upset. You got everything else right, but because the bowl that you're eating out of it is not blue, you say, well, hell, blue was last time, blue's my color, they ought to know that. So all that good stuff gets ruined by one digger. And how many times you get somewhere with somebody and they're doing good stuff, y'all are getting along fine. Everything's going good. Well, they say one little thing. Well, they don't respond the way you think they should respond. And it ruins everything. It's going to focus on negative only. That is an ant. Number two, watch and tell. Predicting the worst case scenario. Every time something happens, you're always trying to figure out, well, the worst thing that can happen, or you're always looking for the worst thing to happen. You know, one time she heard a noise, and she asked her husband to go downstairs. All the time. I heard it downstairs, go get it. So one night he got him to walk down there, and he saw a man breaking in. Taking stuff, he said, can you stop for just a minute? He said, excuse me. He says, can you go and let me introduce you to my wife? He said, excuse me. He says, he's been looking for you for 20 years. All right. And then mind reading. Oh, God. Believing that you know what the other person's thinking without them telling you. I know what you're thinking. Really? I people tell me that all the time, especially when I'm trying to count somebody, or they're going to get ready to play a bomb on me, and they go, I know what they're thinking. I go, do you really know what I'm thinking? Or your spouse says, I know what they're thinking. Really? It's very important that we don't try to read somebody else's mind, because that becomes an ant. If you got any of those or all of those, you got an infestation and you need some spiritual raid. Then there's just a few more, and then we're gonna really get into it, okay? Thinking with your feelings. Believing negative feelings rather than questioning them. I don't feel it. When I was younger, if I didn't feel it, I didn't do it. When I came up, then it didn't matter what I felt about my children needed food, I worked. I just didn't feel like doing it. Well, you know what? When my wife needed some hospital care, I don't care how I felt, I took care of it. The same way, we can't go by our feelings. We need to challenge the negative and get up and take care of business. And then guilt beads. Guilt beads is thinking in terms of what you should have done. I ought to have done, should have cut them up, and you beat yourself up or beat somebody else up with guilt beads. Have you ever beat somebody up with guilt beads? Have you ever been beat up by guilt beads? Have you ever beat yourself up with guilt beads? And they're saying, well, what's all the scriptures? I got plenty of scriptures, but I got to lay a foundation, okay? Labeling. Giving yourself someone else a negative label. When you label somebody, I've been guilty of this, I've been guilty of all of them. Labeling. You put somebody, you're giving yourself or somebody else a negative label. If you give it to yourself or give it to somebody, then every time you see them, you don't see them, you see that negative label. And even if they're doing good, you don't see that because you're too busy watching for the negative. And so your mind is like an illusion. You know, how many's ever had those glasses that the code glasses that you got a piece of paper and double gun, wherever you got a piece of paper, and it said one thing, and you put your glasses on, and now you put your glasses on, you can see something that you can see other colors that you couldn't see before. And all of a sudden it said a different word because you got a different set of glasses on. Anybody ever done that? Spy glasses. Amen. Well, sometimes we have our spy glasses on. We've labeled somebody. We can't see all the good they're doing because all we can think about is all the negative. Impersonalization. Father's events are seen as personal in nature. Somebody are coming at me, they just want to get me. It don't matter. They are out to get me. It doesn't matter what I say or do or how I date them. They're out to get me. Remember a man one time that any place he went, he thought everybody was talking about him. He couldn't even go to the football game. Every time the team got in the huddle, he said he thought they were talking about him way up there in the stands. Talking crazy. And then, look, think about these now. You got these going on. And some marching one by one. Blame! Blame somebody else for your problems. I take your responsibility. Everybody else is false. Ants are intruding. They're eating you up. It's terrible. So now, remember, you got to resist them. You got to adjust. You got to see. You got to look into the scriptures. Make the scriptures. See what the scriptures have to say. And then dwell on that truth instead of that lie. So now it's time to get real. Y'all ready to get real?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Y'all said it was okay. Baby said it was okay. All right, is it okay?
Lord,
yes. Okay. Everybody, what'd you say?
Yeah, Lord, cloud.
Did you say Lord, cloud?
Lord, cloud.
Yeah. Okay. Today, I want to see any hands. Today, I want to see some hands. My confession to some hands. All right, because all the people here know that they're not alone. You're in here. How many in here have, get ready, watch things that they should not watch? How many in here have participated in things they should not have? My hand ain't come down. How many in here have been places that they should not, they should have stayed away from them? How many in here have said things that they should not have said? Well, I'm getting tired, I'm still going to hold it up. How many of you thought things that you should not have thought? Y'all look around, hands are everywhere. Because it's the truth. That's the nature of the humans. Okay? It's very strong. It's a very strong nature. You know, matter of fact, let's get ready. The Bible says, when we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, man's here, God's here, there's a deep gulf in between us. And Jesus is the one lays across that golden cross. Love, mercy, grace. God, grace bridges the gap between man and God. So now, get ready. Let's all adjust our halos. Y'all ready? I told you, this is not a skittle sermon. I promise you. These are those street bubblegum stubs. Okay, I mean, y'all remember back in the day, there was hard rock and there was bubblegum rock. As I was coming on some hard rockers, we were all about that. I'd come over work, my hair was down to here, and I'd do my mess, and I'd get my, we'd put the leather skin on, and get my barbells, and just start playing the guitar, and check my hair, you know, and go to work, and some of those guys were doing bubblegum rock, which was Frankie Valli stuff. And they'd go, yeah, have you heard the latest Frankie Valli? I said, have you heard the latest AC/DC? I said, dude, why are you in the bubble? Do you mind if I talk to you? Of course, I like Frankie about it. Lord, help me. If we are all honest, we all have done everything done to sin. Amen? And Satan used it at his advantage to hold us hostage. Hold us hostage to beat us up, to cripple us spiritually, emotionally, and mentally, in order to keep us from being all that we can be for God. He tells us that if you were really a Christian, you wouldn't have done that. If you were really saved, you wouldn't have said that. If you were really loving the God, you wouldn't have gone there. If you really loved the God, you wouldn't have happened. Let me tell you something. In the beginning of your trial, Satan is your tempter. He tempts you. Come on, you don't want some of this. Don't you want some of this? Don't you want to check this out? Don't you want to Check it out. Smell it, taste it. Drive around the block, kick the tires. Don't you want him? He's your tempter. And then after you do it, he becomes our accuser. If somebody comes at you, and they're tempting you to go back to your old ways, they're tempting you to go back to their ends. They're not rich. Remember, Jesus turned around to Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. He wasn't calling Peter Satan. He was talking directly to the source, which was Satan using Peter. If somebody's trying to tempt you and do something that you shouldn't, then all of that, don't take it personally from them, because it's not them. Satan's using them. And when you do it, then he becomes your accuser. Somebody goes, really? I thought you were grown better than that. I thought you were stronger than that. I thought you were a man. That's the accuser of the broken. Satan. Old Smoothfoot. So now, I want us just to, I just want to stop here for a minute. I want to read some. James 5:16. I didn't even, like I said, I was looking this stuff up. I was even working on the way up here. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The special word of prayer has been availed much. We get sick people in the church. We go into that official call and call a lifespan of bad advice. Let's get the first part. And let me get a better understanding of this thing. Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you can live whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be. The Amplified Version says, only Amplified. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also to one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its own working. There's a lot of healing in our spirit. In our emotions, in our mentality, that could be healed if we press the first part of that scripture. I don't mean this good word out to everybody. I don't mean that at all. That's not what it means. I'm going to lay down. I'm really going to lay it down now. And some of y'all going to say, yeah. I remember years ago, I found myself challenged. But some of the things that we just talked about, I go down the list. I'm being challenged constantly by them. There was some turmoil going on, and family turmoil, and all kinds of turmoil, and I let it get the best of me. And I started doing, falling into all of those little traps that were set for me. And I found myself, get ready. Remember, just your halos. I found myself years ago watching things I shouldn't. And I hated it. I felt like a dog. And the devil, at first, was my tempter, and then became my accuser. You're really a Christian? You're serving God. I hit him. Right here. James 5:16. First, I took it to God. I confessed it up. I said, God, I can't do this. I can't do this with you, without you, whatever. Without your help, I can't get rid of this. And I just need you to do something. Because this is not the way I should be. And I confessed it and I asked forgiveness. That was this one. Remember, confess your sins one to another. The righteous man, unveiled much can name, talk to God, so I talk to God, and talk to my wife. I confessed. and ask forgiveness. Then I took it to a trusted, equipped friend. One that I knew wasn't a big deal. Wasn't going to attack me with hands. Because he was a fellow counselor. And I confessed it to him, and then there we confronted it. Long accountability and guidance. I said, man, this is awesome. Thank you, God. This is awesome. But later I discovered this was so powerful. Every time it comes back to me, I feel like a spiritual cramp. And then I realized what Satan meant for destruction. Then and later, God allowed for discovery. I found the grace. I found grace on a new level that I'd never found before. And when I found this new grace, I also found new power. And God really did something. It's powerful. Change, man. Change, friction. The wind blowing, it was also like that eagle. Now, I felt more people after I blew it than I ever could have before. I help guys in Emmaus all the time. I help guys in jail. I help guys in church. I help guys in counseling. Not just our church, all over. You know, God said, can tell how people went. And I had one of those things. I was talking to one of them. And I can't seem to get through this. What do I need to do? I said, well, here's what I did. I took it to God, took it to my spouse, I took it to a trusted and good friend. Watch God. And so, now, if somebody comes to me with one of those problems, whatever the problem is, when they come to me with their problems, especially when you're in Pitt Detention Center, Beaufort Detention Center, and some of these guys are in there for some of the wildest stuff, and they're talking to you, and they're telling you how they feel, and they're going, man, I didn't take it to tell you because I know you're just going to run over me. I'm going, no, no, calm down. Please tell me. Because now I'm not looking down my holy nose. I'm not looking down my holy nose at it. Now I'm looking at their pain through my own pain. Wow. That's so powerful. But then Satan used my past to stop me. I let God use my past to push me forward. And it's been a very, 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 very powerful thing to watch God do what he does best. And it is give full grace blanket on you and wrap you up and hold you and say, I got you, bro. I got you. It's going to be okay. So, let's go down. We're going to move on past this. On that negative thought syndrome. Ants are automated. And they happen without you realizing. That's why I say you got to get your mindset right. They're negative. They are exaggerated. Always exaggerated. And they're convincing. You listen to the ant and you're thinking everything that ant's telling you. You got everything what it's telling you, how sorry you are, how bad you are, how bad they are. They don't love you. They don't care. They could care less about you. Blah, 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 blah. They're not accurate reflections of reality. Used to, I would go a day on end somewhere thinking, they don't want to hear me talk. They don't hear what I say. They don't want to be around. And so now all I do is I just go, you tell me you don't want me around. Just let me know, bro. I got another place that I can be. Or, did you want to hear what I had to say? And you don't. I just be quiet and let you talk. I've learned that all this other stuff is just exaggerated. And it's trying to convince me how bad it was. I got called in to a Beaufort Detention Center. I said, delivered the news of inmate's brother's death. And he was furious and upset And it didn't want to even talk about God. I tried to talk to him. He wouldn't even let me talk to him. But inside, I was thinking, I can't do anything with this. Well, I live in here. And then I said, felt kind of unjust, didn't it? He said, yep. I said, now you're in here and can't do a thing about it. He said, yep. And I pulled up here and I said, you see this? He said, God's got this. I said, yeah, watch this. Team Beth, you know who she is? He said, I got no idea. I said, my daughter. She went through all kinds of trouble with law, all kinds of things. By the time she got straight, then she got cancer. She got that. I didn't see any fairness in it. I didn't see any sense in it. None of it made sense. None of it. But she told me the last deliberate thing besides the very last thing she said was, Dan, you go out there. I said, Bethany, Kirby said many times, if I could climb a bit down your place, I would. But she said, but you can't. It's my race. It's running. You said, you got to help a lot of people, Dad. And you hear me. Don't you let me down. The next time she talked to me, it was, Dad, I'm scared. She hadn't talked all day. I said, now I'm standing there. She went, Dad! I said, what is it? She said, I think I'm scared, Dad. And I said, it's okay. I kissed her on the forehead. I said, Dad, I'm scared too. And I prayed for her. I said, God's got this. And that was the last time she talked to me. I told him that story. And he said, maybe God does see this. I came back the next day to talk to him. I said, Timmy, we'll talk to you about God. See, I was looking down my holy nose, but instead I had something I could share. And he understood, and I understood. And we wound up talking 3 or 4 nights. And he said, thank you so much for taking time with me. I see it makes a whole lot different now, and I thank God for it. See, these things happen. Something everyone does, but it happens more in people that are suffering from anxiety and depression. So, get ready. We're going to talk about some. Ready? Get ready for some scripture. Get ready for some scripture.
Amen.
Don't want them quiet today. This is good stuff.
Amen.
Want to make you groan? Want to hurt your toes? Smacked me in the mouth last night. I thought I had a tooth loose last night, but God got it through me. I thought I had a tooth loose. It's got together. And they said, you can never get past your past. Anybody ever heard those names talk to you? You can never get past your pain. Never get past your past. Anybody heard that? I have. Guess what? When you put the rag on, I'll spray some rag on. Ready? Remember, you find the truth, and you take the truth and replace the lie. The truth is, all charges are dropped. Yes, I was guilty, but all charges are dropped. Romans 8:33, we'll go to 34 in a minute. Well, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified, amplified. Who will bring any charge against God's elect? His chosen ones. If God said it's dropped, it's dropped. Yeah. I don't think I know heard of it. No matter what you did in your past, if God said it's dropped, it's
dropped.
Amen. And then it says you're condemned by your past. I can't even get past it. If I did, it don't matter because I'm so condemned about my past. I wish I had a problem with me right now. But it says, there's no condemnation upon us. Jesus wiped the slate clean. We are free. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that testifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died today rather than is risen again. Who is even that right hand of God who also makes intercession for us? The Amplified Version. Who will bring any charge against God's elect, his chosen ones? It is God who justifies, declaring us blameless and putting us in the right relationship with himself. Who is the one who condemns us? And if you give on a hand clap, the translation says,
Who is the one that keeps hanging condemnation over your head?
Why is there the Father always being in the place?
God always has everybody else. God sees my past and he knows how I am, and so it doesn't do it. What
happens to me?
These are all from Romans 8, matter of fact. All this is from Romans 8. We're hitting right. Y'all notice that? Romans 8. God promises us that he takes the good, the bad, and the ugly. He takes it all, and he mixes it together, and he brings something for us and to us. Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose, the New Translation, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose, to amplify the Bible. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Let me tell you something. It may look like things are looking bad for you and that things aren't as good as they should be, but I'm here to tell you something. God takes the good, the bad, and the ugly, and he makes something very great out of it. My ministry right now, it was shaped, the one that was really shaped part when my mama died. It was shaped again when my wife died. It was shaped even more when my daughter died. And I'm telling you, every time some of these bad things happen, it's amazing how God takes all of those and I can use them to for good things to help somebody else. I'm here to tell you something. God has all things on you. God loves you. God's got you. And everything that's happening to you, good, bad, God's going to use. Get a little hand clap.
Okay. It is blowing up. Oh, here we go.
God's withholding grace from me because it's not holding grace from me because you just haven't done it right. You haven't crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's. Ready for rain? God is willing to show us the lengths that he went to the Lord to take care of our needs. Verse 32, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The Message Version. If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he won't gladly and freely do for us? God's not withholding grace from you. It's only by grace you're in here right now.
Amen.
Oh, come on! God's got it! Give him a hand clap! God's got it!
Here we go. Didn't answer to them, aren't we? Here it is. I can't tell you how many times today. Wherever I go, I can hear this. This trial can get the best of me. Or the faith says, this time we get the best of you. You can't make it through this. It's going to get the best of you. It's going to tear you all to pieces. I don't know why you even got to be in church this morning, because that trial that you're under is going to crush you. No trial can overcome us. Jesus swam for us. Romans 8, 37. They and all these things were more than powerful to him that loved us. New Translation. Though despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us and amplified. Yet all these things were more than conquerors and gained an overwhelming victory through him who loved us so much that he died for us. We are more than conquerors. Man, more than conquerors. Explain what more than conquerors are. Do y'all remember when Evander Holyfield fought Mike Tyson? It was awesome. Mike Tyson beat. He was unbeatable. Evander Holyfield said, "You don't stand a chance." I remember watching the beginning of it because I got called to the hospital and then to hear a play-by-play on the phone. But you go to Mike Tyson's room, there was, "You're the man, you're the man, they beat on, you're the man, you're the man. They can't beat you, they can't beat you, you're the man, you're the man." He went to Holyfield's room and they were playing praise and worship music. And he had his hands raised. And he said, Satan, Tyson's room, they were saying he was the man. But in Holyfield's room, they were going, "You're the man. Thank you, God. I worship you." Tears were flowing down Holyfield's face. He said, "You're Almighty God. You're powerful. I thank you, God, for what you're going to do. And when they had that fight, he's been toe to toe with you, and took him down. You mean, I can't remember how many millions of dollars for that. He was a conqueror. He lost about 20 pounds in that fight. Fighters lose weight when they're fighting. So he's walking, and you know how they walk, they kind of, and sometimes they even limp out because they've lost so much weight and all their energy is drained of it, everything out on that. He was a conqueror. Let's just say he made 20 million. He went home and Mrs. Holyfield said that we held a check, bro.
But I was the one that did the fighting.
I'm the one holding that check. And so he gives that check to Mrs. Holyfield. Holyfield was a conqueror. And Mrs. Holyfield was more than a conqueror. Because she didn't have to fight for it. It was given to her because the fight was already fought for her. Let me tell you something about us. We're more than conquerors. Jesus already won the fight. He's already won.
Amen.
He's taking care of it. Oh, he wants you to stand up under him and stand up and know that this child is not going to get the best in you. God's got you.
God's got it.
God's got you. God's got me. Say it. God's got me. God's got me. God's got me. God's got me. This child may not kill me.
We're not killing me.
We can't close to the end. Only 15 more pages. Gone too far. You've gone too far. God won't love you anymore. Man, oh man, I hear that all the time. Not just in prison. I hear it in Walmart, food line, when I'm counseling. I hear it all the time. God can't love me. I let him down. I should have, could have, would have. I talked about somebody. I did something I shouldn't have done. No power can separate us from his love. Romans 8, 38, 39. For I'm persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor life nor death nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's another verse of it. For I'm convinced and continue to be convinced beyond all doubt that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, or threatenings, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unlimited love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And one more person. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing, don't say nothing, nothing living, nothing dead, nothing angelic, nothing demonic, nothing today, nothing tomorrow, nothing high, nothing low, nothing thinkable, nothing unthinkable. Absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. You know something? There's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. I mean, if you please him more, I promise you, I can't make him love me more. And I tell those guys, there's nothing you can do to make him love you less. Here's one. This is it. It's a lot of work going on. Have you heard that one? You seem to be a magnet. Pain is a magnet for bad, a magnet. All this stuff bad's happening around you. You got a black cloud under your head. It's not worth it. Satan says, Lord, you just give up. Quit serving God. There's nothing worth going on. This is all there's ever going to be. This is not it. So confess the glory of the next verse. Romans 8 and 18 says, for we that have suffered in this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amplified, for I consider from this standpoint of the faith that the sufferings of the present life are not worthy to be compared to the glory that's about to be revealed to us and in us. Wow. I have to admit that many times in the last few years, especially with Bethany being sick and his parents being sick and all this stuff going on, that everything happened.
There have been times where I've said, God, is there ever going to be a time when I get to relax? Just relax. Do nothing. Now, I know I probably told you this probably about 400 times. I'm going to tell you again. I think I've told you the last few weeks, but again, I haven't laid off said prayer because I was getting more crap. I was in Walmart one night, trying to pick up some items, and every aisle I walked in, somebody had a problem. And they said, can I talk to you? And while they were doing that, I had people texting me and calling me, family, friends, texting me and calling me. And I finally, I was in the cereal aisle. I couldn't have picked a box of cereal because the phone wouldn't stop ringing for texting. And I finally said, I got to the point of good taking. And I said, God, what do you expect of me? I've only got two hands and two feet. And about that time, as God's my witness, I heard something at the other end of the aisle, and I turned. And a man came around the corner in a wheelchair with no arms and no legs. Driving a wheelchair with his mouth blowing in. And somebody picking up stuff for him off the shelf. And I looked over and saw that. Him still coming out smiling. No arms, no legs. In that chair. And I heard the Holy Spirit look at me or speak to me and said, and now what's your problem again? But what you're going through now is nothing to compare to what you're going to be seeing. Everyone would pray, I'd say, God, thank you for taking Bethany, Manny, our lab, both have died of cancer. And thank you for taking my mother-in-law, father-in-law, because I know they're all. There's no dementia, there's no Alzheimer's, there's no cancer. And they're all running in the fields of hope. Wow. And I can't wait to get there. This week's the sound. Anybody ready to crush some automatic dick or false? You ready to crush some ants? This is time. Start attacking your hands. Instead of putting a big dick down for them to have fun and play, start attacking your hands. Here's the first thing I want you to remove. The should have thoughts. I should have done this. I should have done that. They should have saw me. They should have spoke up. They should have told me something. They should have said they were glad to see me. They should have said my hair looked nice. They knew I got a haircut. I should have thought of this better. I should have done this. Whatever. Get the shoulds out of your speech. With God's help, I'm going to go fishing today. With God's help, I've been working on this car. I think I know the problem with the air conditioner. Maybe it's time, instead of getting oil changed, I'm leaving the shoulds out. Should, could, woulds. Leave them out. Because you're just setting them a picnic table for your ends. Next, recognize automatic negative thinking. Recognize. Wait a minute. The pastor just showed us about nine different things, fortune telling and labeling and blah, blah, blah. It showed so many things. God, help me. Help me to understand these ants. And with your help, I can do something. Next, put your thoughts on track.
Is that how it really is? They don't love you. Is that true? This is never going to work. Is that really how it is? They don't like me. They never like me. They never will like me. Really? Let's filter through the word. What does it mean? Rose-colored glasses, the roses from pain. Now let's take it to God's word to filter it. Next, acknowledge how overwhelmed you feel. Tell God. God, this whole thing is just tearing me up. These negative thoughts are killing me. I can't take it anymore. I feel myself on the edge all the time. I feel like I'm walking on eggshells. God, you got to help me. Just talk to those and see what listen to me. When the negative thoughts come, don't force positive thoughts. Don't force them. When the negative thoughts come, start coming at you, find the truth and embrace the positive. We got some kittens. I make a little fun of it and say a feral cat, which a feral cat did come in our garage. But everybody, she laid 3 eggs. They're good little cats. I'm not a cat person now. You're a big cat person now.
Yeah, you are.
It was interesting. Then says, you haven't figured it out. I said, what? She says, when you catch the boom back in your cage, you don't grab them up like that and body slam them back in your cage. I said, what's done with love? There's 3 cats. I'm trying to catch them. She does this. She picks one up. She goes, aren't you just sweet? She goes, you're so sweet. And then she says, go get in the cage. She opens it up and she lays them down. And I fell behind her. She goes, you better body slam them against them. You see, she's not forcing them into the cage. She's embracing them, putting them in the cage. I'm forcing them. And so when I get up in the morning before Linda, they don't even make a sound. As soon as they hear her voice, they start going, yeah. I pray about that man.
Home is up! Home is up!
And then this, once your ants lose their power. I know that thing's kind of tough. But this is real as real can get. You can't get any realer than what we've already. We're going to get some more of this. Hopefully, next year we're going to finish up on the eagle. Then we'll get back to the ants. We've got to brighten it up a little bit, maybe. I didn't know how this was going to be today, but it is. And it's not, it is what it is. That's another ant. That means that you're held captive to it, no matter what it is. Well, it is what it is. No, it isn't what it is. It was handed to you, and you decide how you're going to take care of it. I'm not going to be held captive. So, once you go on, I want you to remember that everybody's fighting the same battles. That's why everybody raised their hands. We're all fighting the same battles. There's little big eyes, there's little views. I can't look down my holy nose at anybody. Can't. I got a big one, but it is holy. Got through the hole right here. They don't work. All they do is suck up, follow. That's all they're good for. I get me a job as a pollen detector. There he is, right there. Trust God and let Him take care of the ants. Like I told you before, this is probably the most powerful message you've heard this year in this church. It's one of the most beneficial because it's so real and so down to earth, and it's so much more we're all living. I'm not saying we're all a bunch of heathens. No. We're all trying to do it. We're trying to make it. We're trying to get to heaven. We're trying to make it happen. We're doing our best. But the ants, ant infestations, That's what's killing us. Not us, the ants. We've got to learn to leave the ants alone. But watch what God will do. Everybody stand up. Randy, can you play something? So awesome. All the time.
God, that's awesome.
You know, it's hard to imagine life without God. We can do anything with it. Honestly, I can't do anything without it. Very powerful. The hands. It's a battle that we all face. It's a battle for all of us. And the times you think that you're not, there's no way to be held captive by any of them, is the times you're going to really be held captive. God's got this. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First question. I'm going to go to the next part of my hands. So I'll use a lot more scriptures. Romans 8 is perfect for today. I call it a victory chapter. If you're here today, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, you would say, again, I always start with this. You would say, I'm not supposed to God as I should be. But I really want to get closer. Just that simple question. Nobody looking around. Would you raise that hand and say, I'm not supposed to God as I should be, but I want to get closer. Listen, Lord, listen. Maybe today, the reason that you find yourself not as close as you should be is because of the hands. They come marching in. And when you start feeding them, what they're doing is you're setting up a picnic for them. They're loving it. They're tearing you apart piece by piece. Your mind, your spirit, your emotions, your relationships. It seems like when I'm doing couples counseling, one of the biggest things I have to do, even in regular counseling, is tie hands. Yes, I would say it's the number one contributor to backsliding, the number one contributor to separation, the number one contributor to people giving up. Unrealistic. But convinced thoughts that are highly exaggerated. Everybody, just put your hand up. We're going to say this together. Everybody, put your hand up. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you are here in a real way. We thank you that you see the hands that try to attack our minds, our spirits, our hearts. God, help us to step beyond the hands. Help us, God, to not lay out a picture, but instead use some read. We thank you, God, that your word helps us step against all those hands. We thank you for victory. We thank you for what you do with your word. We thank what you said. We claim victory over the hands. In the name of Jesus. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. We're going to say a little prayer. And then we ask God, Brother Doug, to dismiss us in prayer. Who brought us here? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done.
and on where earth is to this in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. We may get those
must not pass the guilt. Lead us not in me, but from the grounds for me. Not in some kingdom. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this message. Lord, we thank you that your grace is sufficient. Lord, we know that things will come against us. That is not without of your hand. But Father, bring us through. Give us strength to persevere. When we get through trials and struggles, we may help others. And we show your love to all those that we come in contact with. Do this now as we leave here this day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.